Jim comes to lead us in our congregational singing.
Tell it to Jesus. Pray it to Jesus. Number 123. We're going to sing all four verses. Tell it to Jesus.
Are you weary? Are you heavy hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you weeping over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone.
123. Do the tears flow down your cheeks unbidden?
Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Have you sins that do men's eyes are hidden? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You know other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Do you fear the gathering clouds of sorrow? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you anxious? What shall be tomorrow? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You know other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone.
Last verse.
Are you troubled at the thought of dying? Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. For Christ's coming kingdom, are you sighing? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You know other such a friend.
Singing, maybe seated.
Thank you. right. The next song is Take Time to Be Holy. 368 in your songbook. 368. Sing all four verses. Take time to be holy.
Take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. Abide in him always and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children. Help those who are weak. Forgetting in nothing his blessing to seek. Take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like him thou shalt be. Thy friends in thy conduct his likeness shall see. Take time to be holy. Let him be thy guide. And run not before him, whatever betide. In joy or in sorrow, still follow thy Lord. And looking to Jesus, still trust in his word. Last verse. Take time to be holy. Be calm in thy soul. Each thought and each motive beneath his control. Thus led by his Spirit to fountains of love, thou soon shalt be fitted for service above.
Amen. As you, as tonight, as we said, as little, at the end of the service, we're going to have some special prayer time, and that's what some of the songs are leading us to. Tell it to Jesus. Any needs, any concerns you have, tell it to him. He even tells us in his word to cast our cares upon him. Why does he ask us to cast our cares upon him? It's because he cares for us. And then also take time to be holy. It takes time to be right with the Lord. And there's that secret place that's talked about in the song, but also something that we've talked about here recently about spending time alone with the Lord, letting the Word of God make the changes in your life that only the Word of God can. There is a work that God can do in your heart that no one else can do, something in your heart that only the Word of God can do. So I take that time to be holy. Remember, obviously, tonight we're having church, and then tomorrow is our special friend day. Sunday school starts at 9:45. All the adults will be meeting out here. Pastor Tim Smart will be teaching us in Sunday school class. And then at 11 o'clock is our special friend day service. And I'm hoping you spent today out inviting people or reminding people. Still got a few hours after church tonight to do that. And there's still a few postcards out there. If there's someone the Lord leads you to stop by and say, hey, we'd love to have you be a part of our services tomorrow, praying for a really good day. We're going to give some announcements at the end of the service, talking a little bit about for tomorrow and how to help us to get ready for the services tomorrow. Looking forward to that. And then next Saturday is Super Saturday, and looking forward to that also. If you'd like to help us with that, we're assigning different jobs and things like that. So let's go ahead and have our ushers come forward. Remember, everything that came in all week long, Monday through Saturday, will be given as a love offering amongst the four different special speakers. And we've been blessed by them, and we're looking forward that we can be a blessing to them also. Mr. Chambers, would you ask the Lord's blessing on the offering, please? Amen.
stand here at decision's door and wonder what to choose. I think of what I wish to gain and what I stand to lose. My flesh longs to be satisfied. It yearns for ease and fame. The Spirit whispers, die to self and glorify His name. One moment in eternity, what difference will it make? Decisions that I make today, the path I choose to take. Will I be filled with joy or shame when at His feet I bow? One moment in eternity, I will wish I had loved Him now. There are so many dreams and plans that I want to fulfill. Is it too great a sacrifice to yield them to His will? Eternity seems far away while I enjoy my sin. But pleasure season soon will pass, and where will I be then? One moment in eternity, what difference will it make? Decisions that I make today, the path I choose to take. Will I be filled with joy or shame when at His feet I bow? One moment in eternity, I will wish I had loved Him now. If I reject this world's demands, they'll say that I'm a fool. If I submit my stubborn will and let the Lord have rule, if I decide that by His grace, His word I will obey, and if I let the fear of God direct me in His way. One moment in eternity, what difference will it make? Decisions that I make today, the path I choose to take. If I can hear Him say, well done, when at His feet I bow. One moment in eternity, I'll be glad that I loved Him now.
Boy, one moment in eternity and a lot of this petty stuff we worry about, it won't matter, will it? Things that we give our time to, they pale in comparison to eternity. I'll tell you this, you'll never be ashamed for giving your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll never be ashamed of living your life in service to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Let's take our Bibles tonight, Ephesians chapter number 6. That's where we were last night, Ephesians chapter number 6, and we're going to continue there tonight. Last night we began a little three-message series. By the way, they're independent. You didn't have to be here last night. to be able to get tonight's message. But we began a little series last night, tonight, and then tomorrow morning in Sunday school entitled Battle Ready, here from Ephesians chapter number 6, verses 10 through 20. And last night we preached a message entitled Superpower Status, taken from verses 10 through 13. And so let's read that again tonight. We'll read from verse 10 all the way down to verse number 20 tonight. The Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." By the way, that's what the gospel brings. It brings peace. He says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Then in verses 18 through 20 is where we're going to fix our attention tonight. Lord willing, in the morning, we will fix our attention on verses 13 through 17, 14 through 17 in the morning. Verse 18, the Bible says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." In verses 18, 19, and 20 tonight, I'd like to bring us a message entitled Battlefield Communications. Battlefield Communications. Let's pray. Ask the Lord to help us tonight. We'll get right into the message. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to be in your house once again, even on a Saturday night. Father, no better place to be on a Saturday night, and we're thankful for the opportunity to be here to be able to open your word once again. Father, in this day in which we live, in a day of evil, there's no doubt about it. We cannot question that. Father, we need your word more than ever. And Father, I pray that you would take your word tonight and move the speaker aside. And Father, just use your word tonight to speak to us and to help us. Father, we need your word. We need that line of communication to be freely flowing and constantly open. And Lord, I pray tonight that you just remind us of probably the Christian's greatest resource. But Father, it's probably one of the Christian's greatest neglected resources. And so Father, remind us of this matter of prayer tonight. I pray that we would be a people of prayer. Father, in this battle that we face, this spiritual battle, we do not fight carnally. Our warfare is not carnal, as you show us in 2 Corinthians. Our warfare is spiritual. And Father, we need complete access to your throne room on a moment-by-moment basis. And Father, I pray that you'd remind us of that tonight. Father, I do pray, if there's one here tonight without Christ that has never come to the knowledge, the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, Father, I pray that tonight would be the night that they're born again. Tonight, even as Pastor Pease mentioned, that tonight would be the night that they come to salvation on a Saturday night in a Bible conference. So, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would have freedom to move, to convict the sinner who needs to be saved, the believer who needs to be stirred tonight. I pray that your Holy Spirit would have freedom to work and move, and I pray that your word would have its desired effect, and we'll praise you for it. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I want to read, if I could, just real briefly, just a brief article. It will not take, by the way, I'm not watching football either. Just a brief article. It says the importance, or it's entitled, "The Importance of Communications in the Military." says one of the greatest challenges faced by military commanders is that of communications. Clear and concise exchange of information has always been vital to any successful military operation, and none more so than in modern times. Effective command and control have always been at the heart of leadership. Even during pre-industrial times, when commanders could often survey an entire battlefield from a single vantage point, ensuring that orders were relayed quickly and accurately was difficult. The early 20th century saw the rapid mechanization of all aspects of warfare. The replacement of horsepower with internal combustion engines, along with more effective weaponry, created major changes on the battlefield. No longer would soldiers fight shoulder to shoulder, and commanders could no longer depend on being able to view the action firsthand. With these developments, an effective communication system became even more vital. In the modern era, the military depends on a concept called combined operations. This sees all elements of the armed forces working in close cooperation. From the soldiers on the ground and their support services to close support aircraft and even naval forces. Not only do these forces rely on clear and secure voice communications, but they also now depend on shared data services, creating an information network in which all elements have access to vital intelligence. The battlefield environment is challenging. Any equipment that is intended for use on the battlefield must be designed to function in some of the harshest conditions, none more than systems designed for the infantry. Over the last decades, many militaries have developed their version of the future soldier concept, in which the infantry soldier is equipped with a range of communications and data technology. Central to this concept is wearable technology, which will allow the soldier to operate in a digital, I'm from Tennessee, words are hard, digitally connected environment. These connected devices, a combination of vision, data, and voice, must work in the tough conditions found in the field. At the same time, they must also provide a very high level of reliability, for there is a real possibility that lives will depend on them. And I read all that to really get to this. It says the connectors used in the latest battlefield communication systems must be able to resist exposure to the elements as well as shock and vibration. The connectors used in the latest battlefield communications systems must be able to resist exposure to the elements as well as shock and vibration. There are many things that happen in our day, especially the day and time in which we live, the evil day in which we live, that bring shock to our bodies, to our systems, to our spiritual bodies, if we will. And our communication system must be reliable and it must be free-flowing at all times. I'm not going to preach about this tonight, but there are things that hinder our communication with God. You don't have to turn there, but I want to read just a few just by way of introduction tonight, and then we'll get into the message here in Ephesians chapter number 6. The Bible tells us in the book of Psalms, Psalm 66 specifically, beginning in verse number 18, the Bible says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Now, I'm thankful the psalmist doesn't stop there. In verse number 19, he says, "But verily God hath heard me." You see what the psalmist is saying? The psalmist says, look, if I regard iniquity in my heart, if I hide iniquity in my heart, the Lord is not going to hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. In the book of Proverbs chapter number 15, verse number 29, the Bible says, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous." In chapter number 28 of the book of Proverbs, in verse number 9, the Bible says, "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination." in the New Testament. In 1 Peter chapter number 3, the Bible there is speaking about the relationship with the husband and the wife. And in verse number 7, in verses 1 through 6, it speaks about the wife. And then in verse number 7, it says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." He says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them," speaking of the wife, "according to knowledge." You ever heard any man say, "Boy, you just can't understand women"? You ever heard that? That's funny, but that's not biblical. The Bible says we ought to know our wives. The Bible says we ought to dwell with them according to knowledge. And if we don't, and if we don't give honor unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, the Bible says our prayers will be hindered. And so tonight I want to speak to us about this matter of battlefield communications, and from Ephesians chapter number 6, and then we're going to go to one other passage tonight. I want to show us, or I want to give us tonight, three ways that we ought to pray. Three ways that we ought to pray. If you're taking notes, they all begin with a C. They'll be easy to take notes tonight. Before we do that tonight, I do want to read a verse in Psalm 65. This is one of my favorite verses. The Bible says in Psalm 65, "To the chief musician, a psalm and song of David." Verse 1 says, "Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed." And then verse 2, he says, "O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come." Aren't you thankful tonight that one of the names of our God is, "O thou that hearest prayer"? I'm thankful tonight that over and over and over again in the book of Psalms, and especially the Psalms of David, the Bible speaks about the fact that God inclines, He bends His ear toward us. He listens to us. He has a desire to hear us. He wants to hear us. He wants to be merciful. He wants to be gracious. And He bends His ear toward us tonight. There are things that hinder our prayers. I know that tonight. But tonight I want to challenge us, really just encourage us, about this matter of prayer, about this matter of battlefield communications. One of the ways that we are battle ready, and one of the areas in which we need to be battle ready, is in the area of prayer. The Bible says in verse number 18, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication," Ephesians 6, "in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Remember Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane with His disciples, and He goes to pray, and He comes back, and they're asleep, right? What does He ask Him? He said, "Could ye not watch?" Could you not watch just for 1 hour? Now He goes back the second time and He prays, and then He comes back, and He comes back and they're asleep again. And the graciousness of Christ, He says, "Look, you need to sleep. Sleep, rest." But that first time He comes back and He said, "Could ye not watch 1 hour?" Can we as believers, as moms and dads, as husbands and wives, can we not stand on the wall and watch and pray for 1 hour? Moms and dads, for our children, can we not sit on the wall as watchmen, as Ezekiel tells us, and pray for 1 hour? Think about the temptations that our young people are bombarded with every day. By the way, wives, think about the temptations that your husbands are bombarded with every day. Husbands, think about the temptations that your wives are bombarded with every day. And we need to watch and we need to pray. If we're going to be battle ready, we have to be ready in this matter of prayer. So let me give you these quickly tonight. Number one, how should we pray? How are we supposed to pray? First of all, we need to pray continually. We need to pray continually. Verse number 18, the Bible says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit." We read in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 18 last night, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." You know, sometimes we just don't know what to pray, do we? Sometimes we go to our knees and we desire desire to pray, and maybe we even have a prayer list there, and we're praying for family members, we're praying for church family members, but we get into that prayer and it just feels like we don't know what to pray. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that the Spirit helps us to know how to pray and to know what to pray. But if we're not abiding in the Spirit and we're not resting in the Spirit, and if we're not filled with the Spirit, we're not going to know how to pray. And the Bible says here, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. But first of all, tonight, we need to pray continually, all moments, for all men, and for all matters. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, what does it say? It says, pray without ceasing. All moments, for all men. 1 Timothy chapter 2, you don't have to turn there, but let me read it for us tonight if I could. 1 Timothy chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. For kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. All moments, all men. By the way, in Ephesians chapter number 6, what does it say there? In verse number 18, it says, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Number one tonight, we're to pray continually, all moments. He says, pray without ceasing for all men. We're to pray for all men. 1 Timothy chapter 2 tells us. Ephesians 6:18 says we're to pray for all the saints. By the way, in 1 Timothy 2, verse number 2, it says, for kings and for all that are in authority. And we'll tell you what tonight, and I say this to my shame, I have a hard time sometimes praying for our current leadership. But you know what I'm commanded to? I believe with all my heart, we talked about this last night, I believe many of our leaders today in Washington, D.C. are filled with absolute evil. I believe that with all my heart. I believe they are a tool of the devil. They're a tool of Satan. I don't have any question about that in my heart based on what the Bible says. But I also know what the Bible says right here, and it says I need to pray for them. The Bible says for kings, I know we don't have a king, but the Bible says, and for all that are in authority, that we, why should we do that? Why are we supposed to do that? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Verse 3 says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, all moments, all men, and for all matters, for everything. You're there in Ephesians chapter 6. What is Paul asking the church at Ephesus to pray for? In verse number 19, or verse 18, he says to pray for the saints. But verse number 19, he says, and for me. Pray for me. Here's the great apostle Paul understanding that he needed prayer. And he says, and for me. What was he praying for specifically, or what was he asking for specifically? He wanted the church at Ephesus to pray for him that he would have utterance. That he would have boldness, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And by the way, he wasn't just asking that they would pray for boldness. He's asking in verse number 20, he says, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. He's praying for them, or he's asking for them to pray for his boldness, but also for his bonds. And by the way, he's not asking them to pray for him to get out of the bonds. Think about this. And our church is no different. But if you looked at the average Independent Baptist Church prayer bulletin on a Wednesday night, probably 95% of the prayer requests are physical. You know that the vast majority of the time, Paul never asked anybody to pray for him for anything physical. It was always spiritual. And many times, that's all we... Now, is there anything wrong with praying for physical matters? Absolutely not. But what is the most important thing in our Christian lives? It's our spiritual lives. It's our growth. And we ought to be praying for each other for spiritual matters. We ought to be praying for each other, verse number 19, that every single one of us, that all of our church family members have a boldness to utter the gospel. That's what Paul's asking for. And we would think, well, Paul doesn't need boldness. You read 1 Corinthians. Do you think he needs boldness? Oh my. He writes a scathing letter to the Corinthians. He's like, what are y'all doing? Look at all the sin that you're allowing in your church. And we would think, Paul doesn't need boldness. Paul needed boldness. And he's asking the church at Ephesus, pray for me that I can open my mouth boldly, specifically to make known the mystery of the gospel. Number one tonight, how are we supposed to pray? How should we pray? We should pray continually, all moments, every moment. The Bible says pray without ceasing. You say, Pastor, I'm supposed to pray in my car every moment? Yes. But please don't close your eyes. Amen? Don't close your eyes. Philippians chapter number 4, verses 6 and 7. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. All moments, all men, all matters. He says here in Philippians 4, verse number 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. Number one, we need to pray continually. Number two, we need to pray confidently. We need to pray confidently. I told you we were going to go to two passages, or one. We're actually going to go to two, but I'd like for you to take your Bibles and go to Hebrews 4. Very familiar passage tonight. Hebrews chapter number 4. You would know this passage tonight. Number one, we need to pray continually. He says there in Ephesians 6, praying always with all prayer and supplication. But secondly, tonight, we need to pray confidently. Hebrews chapter number 4. By the way, why should we do that? Because we have superpower status. Amen. Because we are in Christ. Because we have access to the preeminent one, to the most powerful one, to the omnipotent one, to the omniscient one, to the omnipresent one. The devil's not omniscient. The devil is not omnipotent. The devil is not omnipresent. That's why he needs all of his minions in Ephesians chapter 6 that we spoke about last night. Why should I pray confidently? Because I pray to the omnipotent one. I pray to the preeminent one. Verse number 14, Hebrews chapter number 4. First part of Hebrews 4 and really Hebrews 3 as well is speaking about the rest that we enter into because of belief. In Hebrews 3, it talks about the unbelief of the Israelites and how they did not enter into rest. And it continues that thought into Hebrews chapter number 4. And then in verse number 14, he says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16, let us, what's the word there? Therefore, because of who we go to, because of everything he's gone through. Look, Jesus Christ was touched and tempted just like we are. He was touched with every infirmity that we'll ever go through. He was tempted with everything that we'll ever be tempted with. The Bible says the only difference is yet without sin. And because of that, he is intimately knowledgeable of everything I go through. He is intimately knowledgeable of every prayer that I bring to him. He says, let us therefore come, what's the word? Boldly. Let us therefore come, not irreverently. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, because we know who we're coming to. We know what he can do. And because of that, we come boldly because we know of his power. We know of his preeminence. We know of our superpower status. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Number one, pray continually. Number two, pray confidently. Confident in what? Confident in his priesthood, confident in his place, and confident in his power. Confident in his priesthood, he is at the right hand of the Father, interceding for every single one of us. He has been touched with our infirmities. There, we may say sometimes, well, Christ, nobody knows what I'm going through. Nobody feels what I'm feeling. Nobody knows the hurt and the emotions that I'm going through. You may be right as far as individuals upon this earth. They may not know what you're going through. but Jesus Christ does. Have you ever been betrayed? So was He. Everything that I will ever go through, Jesus Christ has gone through. He's been touched, the Bible says, with that infirmity. He's intimate with it. The touch is intimate. When I was in college, Beverly and I went to the same college, but when we were in college, it may be different now, I don't know, but when we were in college, guys and girls couldn't touch on campus. By the way, that's a good thing. The Bible says it's good for a man not to touch a woman. I have a 19-year-old daughter, so I believe that even more now. No, I believe it the same. It's in the Bible. I believe it absolutely the same. But when we were in college, we weren't supposed to touch, not even hold hands, not even, you know, touch elbow, none of that. Why? We would say, oh, that's so silly. Man, that's so old-fashioned. That's crazy. Why did they have that rule? Because the touch is intimate. And the Bible says here that He has been touched with the feeling of our infirmities. How are we supposed to pray continually, confidently, confident in His priesthood, that He sits at the right hand of the Father interceding for us, confident in His place? He sits in the heavenlies. The Bible says in verse 16 that we are to come to the throne of grace. Confident in His place. It's a place of grace. It's a place of mercy. And then confident in His power. Why? Because at that place, at that throne, it's where we find grace. It's where we find help. It's where we find mercy. And He is the only one that has the power to give that to us and to provide it for us. Number one, tonight, we're to pray continually. Secondly, we're to pray confidently. But thirdly, tonight, and I'm going to take us to another passage for our third one tonight, but thirdly tonight and lastly, we need to pray courageously. I used that word again. I used it last night. Number one, we're to pray continually. Number two, we're to pray confidently. And number three tonight, we're to pray courageously. What did we say last night? What is the biblical definition of courage? Anybody remember? Faith. Faith in God's promises. Courage, spiritually speaking, is not something I work up in within myself. It's not something I have just because I'm a super Christian, or maybe Pastor Pease has because he's a super Christian. He has courage. No, the truth is tonight, anybody can display courage when they display faith in His promises. The nation of Israel did that, and the nation of Israel did not do that. There was one generation that lived by fear. There's another generation that lived by faith, and they went in and conquered the promised land. This generation who lived by fear didn't go into the promised land. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and they all died, all that were 20 years old and upward. They all died. Why? Because they didn't have as much courage as Joshua? No, because they feared, and they didn't have faith. In Joshua chapter 1, the Bible over and over again, the Bible is telling Joshua, God is telling Joshua to be courageous. Is God just telling Joshua just to, I'm giving you a pep talk before you go into this battle. Is that what God is doing? No, He's saying, trust Me. I'm going to fight for you. By the way, Joshua, the victory is already won if you'll trust Me. Do you remember Joshua chapter 1? You don't have to turn there, but let me read verse number 8. Verse number 8. He's telling Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and very courageous, verse 7. And then in verse number 8, he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, when you meditate on it, and then you obey it, you apply it, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Verse 9, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. That was the key to courage. The fact that God promised that he would be with Joshua. And Joshua had faith in that. Did he always exhibit faith? No, but he exhibited faith and went in and conquered the promised land to the point in Joshua 24:15. He said, look, I don't know what y'all are going to do, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord because I've seen what God can do. That's courage. Faith in God's promises. Take your Bibles. I don't know if I told you to turn here or not. I don't think I did. Take your Bibles and go to Daniel 6. We're going to end here. Actually, we're not. I'm sorry. Our folks at home, they get so tired of that. Pastor, you said one more passage, but I forget there's another passage linked with this passage. Daniel 6. Daniel chapter number 6. We know the story here. Daniel has been promoted. He is prospering there in Babylon. By the way, he's prospering because of his excellent spirit, not because he capitulated to Babylon. He is excelling, not because he capitulated to the culture in Babylon. He stood against the culture in Babylon. He said, I'm going to be different. And God promoted him. God exalted him. And, you know, not everybody liked that, did they? And so they connived and they schemed. And they got Darius to sign a decree that if anybody prayed to any other god than their gods, or really to Darius for that matter, that they would be thrown in the lion's den. I want you to notice verse number 10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. By the way, that's important. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. We're to pray continually. We're to pray confidently because of the one to whom we pray. But thirdly tonight, we're to pray courageously. Not because we work something up within ourselves and we say, I'm courageous. No, very simply because we have faith in God's promises. Hasn't he told us in the book of Hebrews that he'll never leave us nor forsake us? Courage comes when I have faith in God's promises. Courage to raise children in the year 2022 doesn't come because, oh, I got to work this up today and I got to have courage to raise my kids. No, courage to raise children in the year 2022 comes from having faith in what God has shown us about raising children. Courage to have a heavenly home. To have a husband who loves God and a wife who loves God, a husband who loves his wife the way Christ loved the church, and a wife who is submissive to her husband. The courage to have that kind of marriage today comes simply from having faith in God's promises. And in Daniel chapter 6, Daniel knows the decree. If you pray to any other god, you're going to the lion's den. And the Bible says that his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Now in chapter number 9, we have a prayer of Daniel. We're not going to look at that tonight. We have a wonderful prayer of Daniel. Daniel knew that God was going to bring his people back after 70 years. He knew that. It's evident in the book of Daniel. But in Daniel chapter 6, verse number 10, Daniel prayed courageously, I believe with all my heart, because he knew the Bible. And so I want you to take, and we will end here, I promise. Take your Bibles and go to 2 Chronicles. We'll end right here tonight. 2 Chronicles chapter number 6. What is courage? It is faith in God's promises. Why did Daniel have his window open? Actually, I don't know which way is Jerusalem. Why did Daniel have his window open toward Jerusalem? Is it this way? Why did he have his window open toward Jerusalem? He prayed 3 times a day as he did aforetime. By the way, let me ask us this. Did Daniel just start doing this when the decree was made? No, the Bible said he did it as he did aforetime. So when did Daniel start this practice of opening his windows and praying toward Jerusalem? The Bible doesn't tell us specifically, But I almost believe in my heart that he probably started the practice probably almost as soon as he got to Babylon. And I'm going to show us tonight why I believe that. Second Chronicles, chapter 6. That's where you're at, because that's what I said the first time. Second Chronicles, chapter number 6, verse number 12. This is Solomon's prayer of dedication during the dedication of the temple. And I'm going to read a lengthy passage, but I'm going to read it and we'll be done tonight. In verse number 12, he said, "And he stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands. For Solomon had made a brazen scaffold of 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad and 3 cubits high and had set it in the midst of the court. And upon it he stood and kneeled down upon his knees before all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands toward heaven and said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven nor in the earth." Can we say amen to that? Man, Solomon knew that even in all of his sin, even in his 700 wives and 300 concubines that took his heart away from his God, he still knew who God was. He said, "You are the God. There is no God like thee in the heaven or in the earth, which keep us covenant and show us mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts. Thou which hast kept with thy servant David my father that which thou hast promised him and spake us with thy mouth and hast fulfilled it with thine hand as it is this day. Now therefore, O Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David my father that which thou hast promised him." We've already seen the word promise twice already. "Saying, there shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit upon the throne of Israel, yet so that thy children take heed to their way to walk in my law as thou hast walked before me. Now then, O Lord God of Israel, let thy word be verified which thou hast spoken unto thy servant David. But will God in very deed dwell with men on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house which I have built?" He said, "God, I understand this house can't contain you. We've built it for your honor and your glory, but we understand that this house is not going to contain all of your glory." He said, "Have respect, therefore, to the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee, that thine eyes may be opened upon this house day and night, upon the place whereof thou hast said that thou wouldest put thy name there, to hearken unto the prayer which thy servant prayeth toward this place. Hearken therefore unto the supplications of thy servant and of thy people Israel, which they shall make toward this place. Hear thou from thy dwelling place, even from heaven, and when thou hearest, forgive. If a man sin against his neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him to make him swear, and the oath come before thine altar in this house, then hear thou from heaven and do and judge thy servants by requiting the wicked, by recompensing his way upon his own head, and by justifying the righteous, by giving him according to his righteousness. And if thy people Israel be put to the worse before the enemy because they have sinned against thee and shall return and confess thy name and pray and make supplication before thee in this house, then hear thou from the heavens and forgive the sin of thy people Israel and bring them again unto the land which thou gavest to them and to their fathers. When the heaven is shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against thee, yet if they pray toward this place, and confess thy name and turn from their sin when thou dost afflict them, then hear thou from heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people Israel when thou hast taught them the good way wherein they should walk, and send rain upon thy land which thou hast given unto thy people for an inheritance. If there be dearth in the land, if there be pestilence, if there be blasting or mildew, locust or caterpillars, if their enemies besiege them in the cities of their land, whatsoever sore, whatsoever sickness there be, then what prayer, what supplication soever shall be made of any man or of all thy people Israel, when every one shall know his own sore and his own grief and shall spread forth his hands in this house, then hear thou from heaven thy dwelling place and forgive and render unto every man according to all his ways whose heart thou knowest. For thou only knowest the hearts of the children of men, that they may fear thee to walk in thy ways so long as they live in the land which thou gavest unto our fathers." Drop down, if you would, just for sake of time, to verse 36. "If they sin against thee, for there is no man which sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them over before their enemies, and they carry them away captives unto a land far off or near." Isn't that what has happened? They've been taken to Babylon. Now, by the way, this is Solomon praying the dedication to the temple. And he's praying, "God, if one day your people, if they sin, and you deliver them into the hands of the enemy, verse 37, yet, if they bethink themselves in the land whither they are carried captive, and turn and pray unto thee in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, we have done amiss, and have dealt wickedly. If they return to thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their captivity, whither they have carried them captives, and pray toward what? Their land. And pray toward their land which thou gavest unto their fathers, and toward the what?
City.
The city which thou hast chosen. What city is that? Jerusalem. His windows were open toward what?
Jerusalem.
Toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house which I have built for thy name. Now, by the way, the temple is destroyed, isn't it? Temple's not there, but Jerusalem's still there. Then hear thou from the heaven, even from thy dwelling place, their prayer and their supplications, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people which have sinned against thee. Now, my God, let I beseech thee, thine eyes be open, and let thine ears be attentive to the prayer that is made in this place. Now, therefore, arise, O Lord God, into thy resting place, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priest, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let thy saints rejoice in goodness. O Lord God, turn not away the face of thine anointed. Remember the mercies of David, thy servant. Now, when Solomon, chapter 7. Now, when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering, and then the sacrifices and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. Drop down again for a second time. Would you drop down to verse 12? And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, he said, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. This is God speaking. He's answering Solomon's prayer. He says, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. We know verse 14, don't we? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Why did Daniel have his windows open toward Jerusalem? Why did he pray three times a day as he did aforetime? I believe in all my heart that he started that practice probably almost immediately when he got into Babylon as a young man. Why was he praying toward Jerusalem? What was his prayer? We can read chapter 9. I don't necessarily think chapter 9 is that prayer, but we can read chapter 9 and get an idea of Daniel's heart in his prayer. You know what I believe Daniel is praying for in Daniel 6, verse number 10? He's praying for God to forgive. He's praying for God to heal. You know what Daniel is doing in Daniel chapter 6, verse number 10? He is praying courageously, having faith in God's promises. God, what you promised King Solomon, that's what I'm praying for. God, when Solomon prayed that prayer and dedicated the temple and you answered and you said, yes, if I hear from my people and they turn from their wicked ways, yes, I will hear and I will heal their land. I will forgive them. And I believe with all my heart that's what Daniel is praying. I believe that's why his window is open to Jerusalem. And as we close tonight, here's what I leave us with. Open your window or windows and prove his promises. Let's open our windows tonight. Let's pray courageously tonight. Whether somebody makes a decree and says you can't pray anymore, whether somebody laughs at you for praying in a restaurant over your meal, whether someone laughs or mocks at you for the matter of prayer. We've seen it in recent days, all of the different shootings we've had. We've seen our leaders say enough with the prayers. We don't care about the prayers anymore. God does. We ought to pray courageously tonight and open our windows and prove his promises. Because here's the truth tonight. He never fails on a promise, does he? Does he? No. He never has. He never will. Daniel is kneeling. Here's the truth. Daniel could have gone into an inner room in his house and gone into a closet and still prayed. But he said, that's not what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to set myself toward Jerusalem, and I'm going to open my window toward Jerusalem, and I'm going to pray for God's deliverance. I'm going to pray for God's healing of my people who are captive here in the land of Babylon. How do we pray tonight? Continually, confidently, because we go to the throne of grace, and courageously. What is courage? Faith in God's promises. Remember what we read in 1 Timothy 2? It says that we're to pray for all men. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God. Who will have all men to be saved? 2 Peter 3:9 says the same thing. God is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should what? Perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, one of the things we can pray, especially as we think about Friend Day tomorrow, you know, one of the things that we can open our windows and pray to God about tonight, and one of his promises, God, it is your will that none perish. God, we have invited, we have asked people to come. God, would you bring them? God, would you save them? God, it's your desire, it's your will. Will everybody be saved? No, because God's given us a free will and many reject. But we can pray tonight because God says that he would have, who will have all men to be saved? It's his desire, it's his heart. Let's open our windows tonight and let's prove his promises. Father, we love you tonight. We're thankful for